Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Bronte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Morning Roast here on 95.7 The Game. Shout out to YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal First Class Money Market today. Shout out to everybody out there getting off the graveyard shift. If you're at work, what is happening? Be safe on those roadways. Giants get a big sweep over the Rockies. They've won 4 straight. They get a day off. They head out to the East for 6 games against the Pirates and the Mets. The youngsters are playing well. We got the conference final set up in the NBA. The T-Wolves rally from a 20-point deficit in the third quarter. They beat the Chaps in Denver. They go 3-1 in that 7-game series against the Nuggets in Denver. They'll take on the Dallas Mavericks and Luka and Kyrie. On the other side, you got the Pacers going to New York City and shutting them down and quieting Madison Square Garden. They beat the Knicks. They'll take on the Celtics. Wait, look, no Triple Crown. Mystic Dan doesn't win the Preakness. You got a new undisputed heavyweight champion. A lot going on in the sports world, Shasky.
You know, Bonte, a lot of people are going to say that there's other weeks on the calendar that they love the most when it comes to just being a sports fan.
Yep.
As a family man, it's one of my favorite weeks of the year. Do you smell that? I smell summer. It's right around the corner, baby!
Some of your favorite season?
Well, Memorial Day, to me, has a significance because it signifies the opening of summer, barbecue season, the Russian River for me, baseball, all the standings start to solidify and clarify, if you will. And what's great about this week, if you're out there, you're going to try to make this a short work week. We all want to get out of there on a nooner on Friday. I get it. Thursday, we're going to be out at the Copper Skillet in Martinez.
Yeah, could I wait?
So this Memorial Day weekend starts on a Thursday, Roasters.
Well,
I want to see you out there.
Well, I think it starts Wednesday night.
Why is that?
So I'm getting out to Martinez Wednesday.
Well, I got playoffs Wednesday night, so I don't know about all that.
Well, I will be out there. I will be out there with some Roasters. And we're going to watch Giants Pirates.
Ooh.
And we're going to watch Mavericks and T-Wolves.
Okay.
We'll just have some fun. We'll watch some sports, and then we'll get ready for Copper Skillet 6 a.m. Thursday morning. They're going to open up early for everybody out there. We'll have T-shirts. We'll have games. And we're hoping to do this all summer long, going to a different restaurant, going to a different locale. I was talking to Jordan Watkins Saturday at the block party for our new WNBA team to go to St. Valkyries. And Jordan was like, we got to get you down to Stafford. We got bars and clubs down in Stafford.
We'll
go to Palo Alto any day of the week.
Old Pro, I believe.
Well, that wasn't Old Pro, though, because I asked him about that. It was something on campus. Don't remember the name. Maybe J-Dub's out there, Texas. Saw the great Kevin Dead out there. ZDK did a great job hosting that bad boy. DJ D
Cash
Sharp
me
was on
out
the,
one time.
DJ D Sharp was on the ones and twos.
Oh, yeah.
Guapalé was out there. It was a WNBA is going to hit.
Were there more people at the WNBA Valkyries event or at the SFYBL championship game for Broncos?
Oh, that's a tough question.
At West Sunset. Because that was a who's who, too.
Standing room only. Standing room only. I got to say, Guido Stock went up with his 49er takes.
Oh, what was he giving
you? He's aligned with me on a lot of things. And I said, you know what, Guido?
Oh, so now you two are friends.
So you know what, Guido? You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Rocco's out there running materials always. He's got his daughters out there. Beautiful.
He looked like he was ready to go to a Niner game.
Yeah, he was fitted up here. But before the break, we're asking, which league is the hardest to have a dynasty in?
Guido. Obviously, and his football takes. Hey. Now I'm imagining, because he's the biggest McCaffrey fan of anyone I know.
Well, we didn't get to McCaffrey. We talked about some other things.
Some quarterbacking?
Well, quarterback is a hit out here. You see about the Luke Holmes? You see about the concert Saturday?
I saw George Kittle.
Shotgun at beers? Shotgun at, what are they? Shotgun at Bud Lights?
I don't know. Luke Holmes was at Levi's.
Saturday, right?
Yeah, and everyone I knew went to Luke Holmes. First off, didn't know country was so big in San Francisco or in the Bay Area. And second off, clearly Luke Holmes is a star.
Yeah, apparently he's a star because George Kittle was out there, who's a star of all stars. They're out there. But boy, it was a lot of fun this weekend. And the SFYBL, hold your hands high. I know you came in second, but you got to the championship game. It was cool.
We're outclassed. And real quick on that, that entire team, the Senators, excellent squad. Sturgeon, I think it's Alex Sturgeon, pitched absolutely amazing.
Adam Sturgeon's the father.
Gillard Ducci and Coach Renneria, they did a great job. They're a better team than us. They played a better brand of baseball. And it all started with a second and third bunt hit by Gilarducci's kid. Yeah. And that's what it's all about, putting the ball in play. Congratulations to them.
Sidney Sturgeon hit me up on Facebook. Great day for baseball. So they were proud to win that championship.
We had music.
And then Adam, shout out to Cheese. Shout out to the Moylans. Yep. I talked to Christy Moylan. I see where Charlie gets the swagger from. Christy, Mr. Moylan, he ain't got no swagger whatsoever.
Oh, it dude, it's why you hit my guy.
It's all about
Christy
the
is the man.
I was talking to Christy, and we talked for a few innings, and she goes, man, Charlie's something else. He's special,
you
too.
You gave him love advice, and I have the video, and later this week it's you holding baby Chez, him holding my son, and you giving him dating advice, and it's going to start off our new segment where Bonte gives love advice.
Trust me,
romantic advice.
It doesn't go wrong. Undefeated, never lost. Which league is the hardest to have a dynasty in? Because we see the champs go down with the Denver Nuggets. Woo. And Mike Malone, he's tired of your questions.
What? How hard is it just to absorb a loss like this after going ahead by 20?
Next question, man. The season's over. That's what's hard. Being up 20. The season's over. You don't understand that. The season's over. It's hard. Stupid ass questions.
I mean, come on,
why
Mike.
Why are we so disrespectful?
Come on, Mike. Why
it bothers me.
But why? Like, why? But, like, honestly, like, why? I just don't understand in this society that we're in this day, like, why we have to be so. Someone's asking you a question. They're doing their job. If you don't like the question, and I understand the season's over. You're frustrated. I get it. It's a professional frustration. Why do we have to be so utterly disrespectful of the person on the other side?
Well, it's just low class. Not giving respect to the opponent.
Swag, it's low class. Like Mike Malone, man.
It's low class. It's not classy at all. And all you got to do is praise Minnesota, have some class, keep your composure, and say what you want to say behind closed doors. But to do that and sound like a sore loser the way he did, man. And he got outcoached by Chris Finch. Finch outcoached him. He outcoached Michael Malone. Now, Michael Malone talked about not being able to go back-to-back, and that's our jumping-off point here. Which league is hardest to have a dynasty? Because the Nuggets, we thought, were set up. We thought this was their championship to lose.
Yeah.
Well, they lost at home, and they blew a 20-point lead in the third quarter, and it kind of emphasized how hard it is to go back-to-back. Here's Michael Malone on not being able to go back-to-back.
Well, we knew it was hard. You know, something that I talked to our team about in training camp. You know, I think the last team to do it was the 17-18 Warriors. And with the rules being what they are now, I think it's going to become even harder and harder to repeat as champions. But the one thing I keep on going back to right now is that I consider the San Antonio Spurs a dynasty. And they never won back-to-back. So losing, the hurt of it, the pain of it, it helped us win our first championship. Can we use this year? You know, we tied a franchise record, 57 wins. We went 21-6 out of the All-Star break. We really stepped up. Beat the Lakers in the first round and lost to a very talented Timberwolves team who held the number one seed most of the year to the very end. So it is hard. It is hard. It is hard to repeat. It's hard to win. And we all got to do whatever it takes to not have this feeling again next year.
See, the only way you can ever utter as a coach or an organization the dynasty word is if you've won two and at minimum 4 years.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, like,
and even that's a stretch, right? Once you have to win two and three, some would say, right?
Typically, yes.
Because I'm going to let you continue. 3-5 with the Giants. Exactly. A lot of people don't consider that a dynasty.
Yeah, and he's like, well, you know, the Spurs, and did they win five over a 20-year period or whatever it was, 18-year period? Like, five. You won one championship. I just don't understand why we're bringing up dynasty for him.
Right. But number five.
What do I believe to be the most difficult of them all? I mean, you would think football, but when you have a great quarterback and you have a 40% roster turnover every single year, that is the stats. Good teams, bad teams, doesn't matter. 40% roster turnover. As long as you have a great quarterback, I feel like you're in the mix every year.
That window's open.
Even though I know the NFL's so hit hard with the injuries, I feel like baseball is really difficult because of the arm injuries. Mm. And just the randomness of a seven-game series and one pitcher dominating you over a two- or three-game stretch.
Yep.
Hockey's definitely in the mix. You know, like you get a hot goaltender, boom, next thing you know, you move on. And the randomness of goal scoring and stuff like that. Basketball, though, because there's only five guys on the floor, if you have a LeBron, if you have a Steph, you have an Anthony Edwards, you're in the mix for a decade.
Right, right. Hardest league to hold a dynasty.
Mike Trout was the best player in the game, and Shohei might have been the second best player, and then they flipped, and Shohei was the best player in the game, and Trout was number two. They didn't even make the playoffs.
They didn't make the playoffs at all. They didn't make in the baseball. Playoffs at all. Baseball might be the hardest because of the added wild card rounds.
It's
because the
really
extra mileage and the teams that dominate throughout the regular season, they get that week off and they're just not quite right. So you get that wild card in, you get hot, and all of a sudden you got momentum going in. Baseball might be the hardest, believe it or not. Football with the injuries, I can listen to that argument. Basketball, if you don't have, we've seen dynasties in basketball.
Yeah.
I think now though, I'm very intrigued to see what happens now with the new CBA.
I agree.
And the second apron and the first apron and all the taxes. Like OKC may be in position to create that next new dynasty because Minnesota's going to have to make some decisions soon. You know, Dallas will have to make decisions soon, but I want to hear from the fans. 888-957-9570. Let's start off with our boy, Will and Marin. Will, what's happening, man? What league is the hardest to have a dynasty in?
So I'm going to say baseball for sure, but trip out on this real quick. So it says a dynasty is a team or individual that dominates their sport or league for an extended period of time. Some leagues keep official lists of dynasties often as a part of the Hall of Fame, but whether a team has achieved a dynasty is subjective. Some say that back-to-back championships or three titles within a six-year span should be enough to merit consensus acclamation as a team's stature as a dynasty. So the Giants are, in fact, a dynasty. The Astros may be a dynasty. So if they say it's kind of weird, it's loaded, right? Because it couldn't. They could say that an individual is a dynasty. Because you got to think about like MMA, or you got to think about like Tiger Woods. He could be a dynasty. He dominated his sport. But I personally think baseball. Because how many times do you get like these loaded Dodger rosters or these loaded Blue Jays rosters with all these arms, and they have this sick young closer, and they're coming up, and then homeboy doesn't even like the closer that they have is no longer usable, so they're on like a merry-go-round. And like there's two injuries, significant injuries to a lineup, so then other people that are just guys or role players have to step up, and then the pressure gets to them because it's a game based around failure. So to just to give us some like more props, the Giants, yes, you're right, Shasky, they never, ever truly dominated except for 1 year, I think 2010 or 2012.
2012, they were really good,
Yeah,
they were first place in the league at the half, but then that kind of changed. They still kind of slumped, but then got ice water in their veins during the playoffs. Thank God we had Bumgarner. So I'm going to say that the Giants are a dynasty, and I'm going to say baseball, hands down, is the most difficult because, dude, Tom Brady had skeleton receivers and clerked people like Thanksgiving during the playoffs. Joe Flacco, probably one of the worst regular season guys, won it. So I'm just saying it's baseball for sure. Thanks, guys.
No, the good call, Will. I'm kind of with baseball. And Tom Brady, you got to remember, played in the AFC East. Now, you can't do anything about that. But they basically knew they were in the playoffs every single year. The Jets, Bills, and Dolphins during that era of Tom Brady, they all stunk.
Horrible.
How many playoff appearances did all those teams have combined?
The Dolphins won the division with the Wildcat 1 year.
Chad Pennington.
Yeah, that was the year Matt Castle, I believe, took over.
The Jets had a couple years where they went to the AFC Championship game, and Sanchez. They beat the Patriots in a divisional round in New England 1 year. Other than that, They didn't win a lot of playoff games in that division outside of the Patriots.
He brought up baseball, and you've brought up baseball. I've brought up baseball. Like, when I think of dominant teams, and then you look up, they only have the one championship. Braves.
That's, I see that here.
The Philadelphia Phillies. Oh, I'm not. Someone text that in.
The Braves, with the Atlanta Braves in the 90s count as a dynasty. So, that's from the 6-1-2. When you brought up the Dodgers earlier, winning 11 straight division. I thought Atlanta Braves in the 90s right away.
And like, I think of like one of the greatest teams I've ever seen assembled was the early, 2010s right. Phillies. They had one championship.
Wow.
They should have been better. Texas Rangers, that same time, they were awesome. Awesome. They got nothing.
Check this out. The last back-to-back World Series champion in Major League Baseball.
The last New York one. Yankees. In 2002 or whatever?
99-2000. 98-99-2000 when they won three in a row. It's the last time a team went back-to-back.
Wow.
Now, the Chiefs just went back-to-back for the first time since the Patriots did it in the early 2000s. Think about that. In football, you went damn near 20 years without a back-to-back champion.
It's pretty crazy.
Now, the NBA, you had the Warriors and you had the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
Spurs never went back-to-back.
Interesting. Lakers did it before them, and then like Boston won the one. I'm just trying to like, I'm walking my head through it.
So you got the Warriors back-to-back, you got the Miami Heat back-to-back, you got the Lakers going back-to-back.
So like, if I were to say like the greatest players in their respective sport, in the NFL, almost every one of them, outside of like Barry Sanders, has a ring. Reggie White, Lawrence Taylor, you know, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, they all have rings. When I look at the NBA, all of them. Oh, if you're one of the greats, you got a ring. Even Wilt, for as much as he lost during that time.
He's got two rings.
Yeah, right? You know, all the great. It starts rings.
Oscar Robertson.
Baseball is really the only sport where it's accepted you could be one of the greatest players of all time without
a
ring.
Have a ring.
Wow. You know, Tony Gwynn, Barry Bonds. Yeah. Like, go right down the list and think about it. Like, Willie Mays only has
the one, right? 1954. And they were in New York City. Cried out loud.
You know, so like, I don't know. I look at baseball. Baseball's it's so hard. Difficult, man.
NHL is interesting. I'm looking at the list of champions in the NHL because I don't want to omit them. But
Tampa's
I know
won it how many times the last recent years?
So Tampa, they went back-to-back in 2020 and 2021.
Okay.
And they lost the cup before. They lost two finals. So they've been to the Stanley Cup Finals four times since 2015.
That's
they
pretty won two incredible.
Of them. They won two. Let's go to Vincent, our man Vincent in Columbus, Ohio.
Pretty incredible.
What's going on, Vincent?
What's up? So I think football is the harder dynasty because of the finality of the playoffs itself and the injuries and the salary cap. But like, you think about it, like if you're a number one seed, you could lose that first divisional round game and you're done. So I think it's football. But I also wanted to ask, do you guys think the Spurs don't get the credit for being a dynasty because they didn't go back to back? Because I think about it, if you win 3 in 6 years, you're a dynasty in my eyes.
Yeah, I think they get credit for the success they had over 20 years. They were a top seed for so many years that they had some injuries. They lost in the first round. Remember, they lost to an AC Memphis Grizzlies. I consider what they did a dynastic run.
Well,
I do.
You know why I think that they get diminished? Unfairly. They came on the heels of Michael Jordan, and they weren't as sexy as the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yep.
And that's why I truly believe
they get diminished.
Absolutely. And it's unfair, but I believe that when you anything after Jordan was going to take a hit, right? And they were like kind of like the first, them and the Lakers, and they weren't the Lakers.
Right.
And so we associated boring with them and we diminished them. And then they had multiple European players or overseas players because Ginobili's from South America.
Yeah,
you know, and so I just think that the way that team was constructed, it were a little early for its time.
I'm going to rattle this off before we go out to the lines. 99-0 when they won their coming off the championship season. They won. Listen,
and that was a
strike-shortened season. So they went 37-13
or lockout or whatever.
Lockout.
Yeah, whatever it was. Whatever it was.
An asterisk, whatever. Yeah. So, look at these win totals from 99-00.
Yeah, give them.
And I'm going to read them up until 2018-19.
Rat-a-tat-tat them.
53, 58, 58, 60, 57, 59, 63, 58, 56, 54, 50, 61, 50, 58, 62, 55, 67, 61, 47, 48. That sounds like a dynastic run to me.
No doubt. But again, I think that we diminish them.
Right.
San Antonio brand, international players, they're boring, and they're not Jordan, and they're not Kobe.
But see, I don't think
it's fair.
I hear you. I hear you. But it's not fair because they have a top 10 player of all time in Tim Duncan. They have Tony Parker, one of the better point guards we've seen, and Manu Ginobili, probably the best six man we've ever seen.
One of the greatest coaches of all time, we personally always consider them
a dynastic run. When you win, rattle off wins like that, and we remember how hard it was to win in San Antonio for so many years. That's why I think Dirk, when they won Game 7 in 06, and the Mavericks advanced to the NBA Finals against Miami, lost to Dwayne Wade and Shaq in six games, Dirk won a Game 7 in San Antonio in the second round. On the road, in San Antonio.
Is Alabama football a dynasty?
Absolutely.
All right. Is Georgia currently a dynasty?
They won back-to-back.
One more,
they win one more, and I give them that.
I agree with
and
you.
And I think they got omitted out of the playoff. The country didn't want to see them go. I think they get into the playoffs, they win three straight.
I agree. So, like, I look at it this way. From a television perspective, we all say, as sports fans, we hate dynasties. We love them.
No, we do.
The Yankees rated well for baseball forever because people either rooted for the Yankees or they hated them and wanted to see them go down.
Yep.
The Lakers, they view well. Like they just do. I know we all hate the Lakers. They rate well.
The
Warriors, they rate well. The Warriors rated well. The Chiefs rate well. Dynasties rate well. Even the Patriots, for as tired as we were of the Patriots, half the audience was rooting for them, half the audience was rooting against them. I believe dynasties are great for sports.
Yeah, I love dynasties because we love somebody to hate. We love somebody to root against.
And I like excellence.
You know, so you brought up last week, you know, are people going to get a tighter Mahomes? I don't think people will. I think Mahomes has everybody eating at the palm of his hands. He could do no wrong.
I feel like he's underrated.
You think so? I don't know how.
He's won three rings, and I think he's already the greatest quarterback ever.
I don't think he's underrated. I think he's properly rated.
I don't think his star is even as close to what it will be in 5 years.
Oh, no. It's only going to grow, no
he's
doubt.
He's the best.
I mean, but from where he is right now,
I mean,
he's an absolute rock star. Real quick, let's get to, before Anthony Slater, let's get to Antonio in Oakland. Spinola, I'll let you jump in here. Antonio in Oakland, what's happening?
Oh, yeah, guys. I think it's football because, you know, the injuries and free agency. And then ever since 2011, the Niners have had, what, probably a top two roster, and we have no rings to show for it. That's how hard it is to win in football. You know, and I don't think the Giants are a dynasty because, you know, like they weren't really dominant in the regular season. And on top of that, when they didn't even go to the playoffs in a lot of those in-between years. So, you know, that's my take, guys.
The Giants are so unique. They did it with three different aces, three different closers, three different center fielders. Really the only constant, Bochy and the catcher.
Yep, Buster Posey. That's it.
It's crazy. Like,
it's crazy.
Hunter Pence only had the two rings. Panic had two. Belt had two. Craw had two. It is wild.
It is kind of fascinating to me that when you say Giants dynasty, 3 of 5, and they scoff at it, like, they ain't no dynasty because of the regular season. But it doesn't matter. It's all about getting in.
Well, they were
once you get in,
wild card.
Right. We've seen a lot of wild card
improbable champions.
But wild cards, we see that. Hell, do people realize that the 0-2 Giants with Barry Bonds were a wild card team?
No.
Do people forget
that
the Diamondbacks won that division that year?
Yeah.
And the Giants ended up in the World Series. The team they beat, they lost to the Angels. They're a wild card team, too.
But I think, you know, as we like talk about all these different teams, like you have to have like a signature player at the front end of that dynasty to kind of headline it.
Yeah.
And I don't think Posey carried the gravitas the way that some of these other marquee players did. Like if the same thing happened for the Giants, but Bonds was there, there's no doubt about it. It's a dynasty.
Yeah.
So like right now, Red Sox, do we consider that a dynasty?
I do.
Because of David Ortiz. He's one of the guys that was there from the beginning to the end, and I feel like he has that gravitas.
Yeah, I mean, Manny Ramirez, Dustin Pedroia, they had great pitching. Let's squeeze in Jonathan and San Leandro. What's happening, Jonathan?
04 to 18, it's pretty incredible.
Jonathan, what's happening, buddy?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chasky. Good morning, Vontae. How are my two favorite people on radio?
Oh, man, we're not bad.
Great.
Not doing bad.
Hey, I hear that, and I just, I got to say, every day I hear you too, and it's a little victory for the little guys like us over here. But I did want to bring up a good point. I wanted to bring up the NHL. I did a little bit of homework while I was on the line. And so I guess if Google's lying to me, I did a quick Google blast back-to-back Stanley Cups, and it looks like the 60s, the Montreal Canadiens. And it was like Toronto, all in the 40s, 50s. And then you look past that, I don't really see any back-to-backs. And
right.
I know we're not big on hockey in this radio channel, but hey, we still get it in there, right?
We do get it in. I was watching Rangers-Panthers last week. Or not Rangers-Panthers, Rangers and Hurricanes. Here, think about hockey. Edmonton Oilers, we know about Gretzky and all those guys up there. 84 and 85 and 87 and 88. Gretzky, Messier, they were legit in Edmonton. the Pittsburgh Penguins, Mario Lemieux, Yamir Yager, 91-92, and then Sidney Crosby, Malkin, 2016-17. Of course, they beat the Sharks in one of those championships, and then the Tampa Bay Lightning, who you referenced there, going back-to-back in 2020-2021. But hockey might be the hardest, because those are grueling.
I feel like the Avalanche were great. The Blackhawks were great for years, and like... Yep. Only had the one ring or whatever, in you know, right.
No back-to-backs
to hang their hat on. Red Wings as well.
Like, New Jersey Devils were good for a second, but they didn't go back-to-back. Wow.
Say, make sure you don't miss that break.
All right. More coming up here. Anthony Slater, we'll ask him about dynasties. He just covered the Dallas Mavericks and OKC series. We'll ask him about some rumblings with the Golden State Warriors, what he's hearing, what's going on there, where they may start. Who's going to be back? Who may be gone? Let's do that for a couple minutes, and we'll get right back to this. 888-957-9570. What sport is the hardest to have a dynasty in? Are dynasties dead? Are they all dead because of the cap era? That's coming up. 888-957-9570. That's what's coming up in the game. Brought to you by Scandinavian Designs Furniture.
Kirk Cousins.
This is Clay Thompson, and you are listening to the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. You better not be roasting me if I'm doing the last intro.
All right, make sure you subscribe to the Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys podcast. Sam Love and Joe Shasky bring you the best Dave Giants talk in the Bay Area, period. Every single week, all season long, win or lose. Also hear exclusive interviews with players. Subscribe today on iTunes and Spotify or wherever you like to listen to podcasts. Giants have won 4 games in a row. We'll get to them a little bit later. Let's get to Anthony Slater. It's been a while since we talked to our main man, our 95-70 game insider, of course, Warriors insider for The Athletic, and he just covered the OKC Dallas.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer, a beach bum summer, or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first 3 orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Series, which was a fun 6-game series, came down to the wire. What an experience for OKC. But Slater, good morning to you, brother. Long time no talk. I'll ask you this right off the bat, because we're talking about dynasties, and we saw the Champs go down yesterday after blowing a 20-point lead in the third quarter. What league is, in your opinion, is it the hardest to have a dynasty in? Is it the NFL? Is it the NBA? Is it MLB? Is it the NHL? What do you think, Slates?
Probably MLB at this point, just because of like the variance of the playoffs, I feel like, right? How about the Diamondbacks? Like, you know, what you don't see in the NBA, like just some like a Diamondbacks version of an NBA team. Who would that be this year? Just like the Bulls just suddenly like make the finals.
I would say like it would have been the Heat a couple years ago, but even that, like they're better. Yeah, they're better than what I thought of the Diamondbacks heading into the season.
Yeah, like they at least had like high level players, right? It was like Jimmy Butler turned it on,
right?
Yeah, I mean, again, this year would have probably been like the Kings or something.
Yeah, that's a good call.
That is a good call. I think we've all said baseball, too.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking at this from a Warrior point of view. How should Warrior fans feel when you look up and Anthony Edwards, it's unfortunate he goes in front of him, but he did. I mean, he's leading his team to the Western Conference Finals. And then you look up and Halliburton, who I don't know if they were ever going to take him at 2, but there were people that wanted him. On his second
trade down, he was a trade down opportunity. LaMelo Ball would have been the guy, except for Wiseman. He maybe get it too.
Fair enough, but like You look at Halliburton leading his team to the Eastern Conference Finals. How should Warrior fans feel today? And James Wiseman and their guys, like, barely in the league.
He's an unrestricted free agent this summer, if anybody's interested, including the team of the Bay. yeah, I mean, you should feel like that draft pick was missed and missed in a pretty significant and detrimental way. But, like, you know, I don't think you needed these playoffs to know that. So, yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, like that's a huge miss. That was the bridge to the future, as we all know, and it was broken down.
Can I follow up on that? If Anthony Edwards, if they had had the number one pick, and it's easy to say in retrospect, oh, they would have ran up and took Anthony. Would they have even taken Anthony Edwards?
Yeah, I don't know. That's like, you know, I guess kind of a little bit depends on who you talk to. But, you know, they were pretty, I mean, I reported it in the lead up. They were pretty, you know, enamored with James Wiseman. And to be honest, like, I was kind of thinking it was a good pick at the time. I think a lot of people were, you know, I mean, we can all have our second guessing in retrospect, but we felt at the time, especially because, like, it did not feel like they were zooming back into title contention immediately.
Right.
That shocked a lot of people. And at the time, it felt like, yeah, look, this, you know, rim protecting, skilled 7-footer that can maybe step out to 3, and that was the idea of what James Wiseman could be developed into at the time, was the wave of the future. We've seen it with Chet Holmgren. We've seen it with, you know, even Evan Mobley was kind of, you know, at the time, somebody we talked to. Now, you can say you should have seen it within the small amounts of tape that James Wiseman had, that he wasn't going to be that. Sure, you can criticize the scouting of Wiseman, but that was the idea of him. And the thought of the Warriors having one of those 7-foot rim-protecting 3-point shooters was very appealing. Imagine if they had, you know, you mentioned Anthony Edwards. Imagine if they just got the second pick in the next draft and got Chet Holmgren instead.
Oh, wow. Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, well, I would ask you about Siakam, because that's a name that's been floating around. You see Warriors Twitter is active when it comes to Pascal Siakam. Now, he's in the conference finals. Now, they've had a bit of luck, right? No Giannis in the first round. Dame Dollar misses a few games for the Bucks. Then they play the Knicks, and the war of attrition got to the New York Knicks. It feels like a big series coming up for Siakam, knowing that he's going up against Tatum Brown and that Celtics defense. What about the Siakam rumors? Because I had heard through my sources that, hey, Masai Ujiri wasn't interested in any of the Warriors' assets this past season at this deadline, especially after they traded OG Anunoby to New York and obviously Dangler, Pascal Siakam, but they already had Scotty Barnes and RJ Barrett. What was the Siakam rumors with the Golden State Warriors? Was there any legs to that at all, Anthony?
They had conversations about Pascal Siakam. I think if they were really aggressive going after Pascal Siakam, and not only aggressive in the sense of what assets you're willing to put on the table, but also behind the scenes of, like, you know, the future of Pascal Siakam extension-wise and how much money you're about to give. Pascal Siakam is about to be an unrestricted free agent, but the entire league is of the belief he's going back to Indiana, and he's going back to Indiana on a big deal that was essentially, you know, handshaked before the trade. So to me, the bigger question about Pascal Siakam, who's entering his 30s, is, like, you know, were you willing to go 4 years, $160 million, something. I don't know what the exact number will be, but it's going to be huge.
Right.
And I'm not saying, you know, I can hear the argument either way, why it makes sense, why it doesn't make sense, but I think that's what not only turned the Warriors off, but the Kings too. The Kings were really close to a Pascal Siakam deal, like, to the point it was being reported it was, you know, at the 5-yard line, essentially. So I think both of the Northern California teams, had they been more aggressive, had they been more willing to give Siakam a huge, major, long-term extension, I think they could have, you know, potentially added him.
So what other rumblings are you hearing right now? I know things are quiet on the Warriors front. We got the WNBA team to go to save Valkyries out there having a block party at Thrive City. A lot of fun there. But what rumblings are you hearing there? For example, Klay Thompson is going to be an unrestricted free agent. One of the members of the Big Three. Any conversations going on about a contract for Klay Thompson or contract extension or whatnot? What are you hearing on that front? Or is everything mum? Everything's mum on the Warriors front here.
First of all, I mean, you're just an excellent. The way you just, like, you know, pop the Valkyries, you know, promo right in there. That was good work. That's what I'm hearing. It's still early. It doesn't feel like it, but it's still very early in the, like, free agent process, the behind the scenes process, because the Warriors got eliminated so early last year. Like, this is when they got eliminated, Game 6 of the second round, and they still had a bunch of time. So I, you know, Klay, it seems has kind of taken some time away. I think league conversations behind the scenes, agents, teams, stuff like that kind of picks up around combine time, which was last week.
I don't sense, like, you know, that there's going to be any, like, you know, movement or signals. So we're probably talking, like, you know, mid-June as the draft nears. You know, that was what it was last year with the Warriors, where the Chris Paul trade came together in, like, the week leading up to the draft, after it became clear that the Suns either were going to cut Chris Paul's salary or ended up trading him for Bradley Beal. And once they did that, that's what, you know, triggered his availability, and suddenly the pool for Paul trade kind of comes together. So I think substantial, like I said, signals will come towards mid-June into draft night to June 28th, which is a huge day, I think, for the Warriors, because that is Chris Paul's guaranteed date. That's when his $30 million is either guaranteed, or you either cut it off before that, you cut it off the books, or you use it in a trade. And to me, that signals how they're remaneuvering their cap. If they use that Chris Paul, any percentage of that $30 million to go get, you know, somebody else, that could signal that, you know, maybe Klay Thompson's not coming back, because, you know, like they need to stay under the second apron at least, maybe even try to deduct the luxury tax. And suddenly, if you're adding more salary, that kind of crowds those figures.
All right, I'm looking at the league as a whole here. They're negotiating, obviously, their television rights currently. We all expect them to get massive numbers, and it's not based off of what they're going to do this year. But just as the league's selling itself for the future, you see the Knicks get knocked out. That's the number one market in all the land, obviously. Philadelphia's knocked out. You get the L.A. teams knocked out. The Bay Area knocked out. These are all the top 10 markets. They still have Boston alive. They still have Dallas. Those are huge, huge markets. Minnesota sneakily is a very big market. And then you got Indianapolis. It is in the Indiana market still alive. How are they viewing this in terms of selling the league moving forward? Is this a good thing that you have young superstar teams, or are they a little up in the air?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think a Boston Knicks, like, East Finals would have been really appealing to the league for the moment, just because, like you mentioned, the markets, but also just, like, the fervor of those fan bases, the rivalry of the city. You know, so Indy over New York probably wasn't terrific. I would say, you know, I think, like, Minnesota beating Denver, I think long-term is kind of good for the league. I mean, you know, the Nuggets they're a known commodity. Jokic is, like, kind of, I guess you would say, like, a rising, you know, national name, but there's a little bit of a dullness to them, it feels like. And to get Edwards on this big stage, you know, you want to build, like, the next big names in the league. You know, and I don't think it's always about markets. I covered the Thunder teams back in the Durant-Westbrook days. That was a small market team. That was, like, a national team. They drew big ratings. Like, you know, we were all watching every night if they were in, like, a West Finals, like, against the Spurs or something like that.
LeBron with Cleveland. Cleveland and LeBron. I mean, he made them a big-time show, right? They were a national brand.
Yeah. So I actually think the West Finals is good for the league. Edwards against, like, you know, a Luka Kyrie team. You're going to get one of those two coming out. And I think Luka's got a chance to be, you know, a big brand name if he gets a final. You know, I think him getting the finals would be good for the league also. So, and then as far as the TV deal goes, like, that thing seems, like, pretty sealed right now. It's just that it's from, you know, again, and I'm not one of those, like, TV reporters that's, like, really deep into, you know, talking about it with, you know, television execs, but it sounds like to me everything's almost done except, like, NBC and TNT are, like, kind of fighting over, you know, the last bit of it. So it seems like that's kind of settled, and it sounds like it's going in a very lucrative direction for the league.
Yeah, no doubt. Real quick, before we get you out of here, OKC just lose. I think they're ahead of schedule. They have many assets, many picks. Think, what, 9 guaranteed picks over the next 5-6 years. It could go up to 15 first-round picks. When I say guarantees, that is, what are they going to do? Because it feels like, Anthony, and are you getting the sense that this will be a chaotic offseason in the NBA in terms of trades, free agency signings, because everybody's trying to get under that second apron?
Yeah, I mean, every time, like, a team goes out, I could see, you know, people wondering what that could potentially mean for the Warriors, right? Cleveland goes out. Is Jared Allen available? You know, something like that. But as far as the Thunder goes, yeah, I mean, they're as, like, well-positioned as anybody. Right. We all know that. I do think what we learned about them in the playoffs, particularly in that second round that I just covered, was, like, their fifth spot long-term needs to be solved. Josh Giddey, you know, there was warning signs leading up to the playoffs that, you know, Josh Giddey's maybe doesn't fit this core long term. He's like a bigger guard that can't shoot and doesn't really defend, but if you put the ball in his hands, he's kind of creative, and this team no longer puts the ball in his hands because of what Jalen Williams has become, what Shea now is, obviously, even Chet Holmgren. So, you kind of need that fourth, fifth starter to be a little bit more like Lu Dort is for them. Defend, hit an open three, hustle, rebound, stuff that Giddey really isn't. And Giddey's extension eligible. He's, you know, just like Jonathan Kuminga coming up this summer. He was the pick right before Kuminga. I think they need to figure out his future. I think he's an obvious trade candidate in a package, potentially with picks. You mentioned all the picks they have included. They have the 12th overall pick in this upcoming draft. And they need to go find the net, like another big piece. Like if they had got a big power forward who could rebound and hit threes, some people want them to get a backup center, but their centers need to shoot threes. That's how they play.
Right.
So maybe a backup center that can shoot threes. I mean, to me, their ideal candidate would be a Lauri Markkanen in Utah. I don't know that Lauri Markkanen is going to be available, but you know they have the salary space and the flexibility. If that somehow was, imagine if you just added Lauri Markkanen instead of Giddey to that course.
Wow. What about Kevin Durant?
Yeah, I mean,
you can talk about a redemption story, Anthony, for Kevin Durant. Wow.
Yeah, that would be quite a story. I might be in Oklahoma City a bit more next year. that came to be. I think there is a personality and just like, you know, historic aspects of that might make it difficult. And the other thing, and this to me matters in this Warriors conversation, because I know people have wondered about a Kevin Durant reunion in the Bay. It just doesn't seem like Phoenix is giving up right now. You hear what Matt Ishbia is saying at his press conferences. Sure, maybe Kevin Durant could try to strong arm his way out of there, and that matters in the NBA. But I just don't think Phoenix is ready to hit the eject button. They seem pretty stubborn that, like, they're going to make this core work. They just hired Mike Budenholzer not to, you know, start a rebuild. You know what I mean? Yep. So I don't think Durant's leaving this summer would be my guess.
Real quick, after watching Minnesota win that Game 7 yesterday on the road, before we get you out of here, Anthony, I think it's one of the more remarkable Game 7 road wins I've seen watching NBA basketball down 20 to 30 quarter. Is chaos in the league good for the Warriors? Meaning that all these player movements around the league, would that benefit the Warriors as they could sit back and say, maybe we could pick up a player here or there? Is chaos good for them, Anthony, before we get you out of here?
Yes, as long as they kind of enter the fray and add, you know, what kind of chaos is it? You know, how does it shake up? I think we'll know come July 10th if it was good for the league as far as what does their roster look like, what does the rest of the league look like. But I think two steps back, yes, in the sense that Denver looks more vulnerable than we thought, you know, not only this season but into the future. They don't look unbeatable, obviously. I'm not sure Minnesota's rise and the Thunder's rise is great for the Warriors, because to me, if you're the Warriors, you just need the league to still look like it has a level of parity and no, like, Goliath that you can't beat. And I don't know. I mean, I'd ask you guys, but does it feel more or less like that than it did prior to the playoffs? I would say maybe a little bit more like that, because I thought Denver was a little bit more indestructible, and they're just not. Now, Minnesota's better, I do think, depends. You know, you could say chaos in the league. If that turns out that the Thunder do get, like, a Lauri Markkanen, that could be concerning for the Warriors.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a name I didn't think about. Anthony, good work as always, man. Always love catching up with you. Go get some rest, man. You're done for the season, right?
Yeah, but you know, like you said, the chaos season, you know, I got to start getting my brain, you know, triggered back into Warriors, because it's a big month coming up.
Big month indeed. All right, Anthony, take care, brother.
All right, folks.
Big month for the Golden State Warriors. Big month. You like that. Our program director, Matt Nahegan, likes that. Big month for the Warriors. Big month for the Giants. Is it a big month for the 49ers? They start OTAs today down in Santa Clara. Ricky Pearsall. Let's go. Catching passes from Brock Purdy.
I need Bosa in shorts standing there.
Let's see. Let me look at Small Bears Instagram. Where is he at? Is he on a yacht right now? Is he on a yacht? He's been on a yacht, right? Didn't he do the whole schedule release on a yacht in Florida?
I don't know. I didn't tap in.
He didn't tap into your boy Nicky. Boy, you're down on your boy Nicky Bosa.
He just needs to show up.
You are down on him.
You know?
I've never seen this down on your guy.
Look, he's a great player. And I thought he had a down year last year.
You are so disappointed.
Look, our window is now. Like, the championship window is now. This isn't some hot take. It's like, come on, man. Let's go. Let's go. You're the highest paid guy on the team in the history of the franchise. You should be there. Like, for example, if I paid Jerry Rice the richest contract in the history of the game, he would have been there at everything. Would you agree?
That's Jerry, though. He's cut from a different cloth.
That's what I expect
from
my highest paid players.
Not everybody's Jerry Rice.
But that's
macaroni, baby.
When you want to be an all-time, when you want to be an all-time legend, that's the requirement. The requirement is you're there emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, every step of the way.
So what happens if he doesn't show up today?
I'd just be disappointed.
Is this something we'll remember in training camp?
No, he doesn't. I'll remember it. No one else will remember it.
No, I'll remember it, but I mean, would anybody even care?
I mean, look.
He goes out there and gets 20 sacks, but he misses all the OTAs. Right, but he missed OTAs. He didn't get that performance check that he gets from OTAs.
I mean, you saw the guy in the Super Bowl healed over, and he played really hard. But, like, those reps in August do help you be able to play hard in the fourth quarter and in overtime of the Super Bowl in February. Like, it's just, you talk to all the greats. Stafford and Cooper Kupp were saying every single pass that we threw early mornings, 5 a.m., 6 a.m., in the you know, working in the offseason, during the regular season, it all counted in the fourth quarter when we were playing the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, I ask all the champions. They always say all the hard work pays off.
510, Xfinity Mobile text line. Sea legs, Bosa. It's got sea legs. Sea legs, Bosa. 888-957-9570. We watched the Nuggets go down yesterday. The Chiefs went down. They went down hard. Is the downfall coming for Denver? They got some tough decisions coming up.
It's coming hard.
It might be. People are already talking about trading Michael Porter Jr. for smaller contracts because they got to re-up on Murray and Eric Gordon in 2025. Get here, Spino.
So we just had Anthony Slater, our 95.7 The Game insider, does a tremendous job covering the Warriors, and he said there's a big month coming up for this team. What's the biggest thing for the Warriors this month for you guys? He mentioned Chris Paul. Is it Klay Thompson? Is it finding another, like you mentioned, all these players that could be available? Is it finding the next piece to the puzzle? What do you think he meant by big month?
Big month means do something. Do something. You cannot stand pat.
Well, I think it's a big month in terms of what direction you go into, right? And then you got to, we talked about this a few weeks ago. You know, the discussion we were having is, what's the number one priority for this team? So I think this next month on how big it is, okay, what's priority number one?
Trading Wiggins and something else, whether it's Kuminga or not, and like, what are you getting? And how does trading Wiggins upgrade your team?
June 28th, Chris Paul's contract's guaranteed. What do you do there? Is that a big priority? That may be priority number one.
It depends on whether I'm bringing back Clay or where I'm at financially. Like, I want to know, this is what I really want to know. What is the amount of money that they're preparing to pay for this team? Because then that tells me whether they're willing to guarantee money for CP3.
Well, if they know they're going to be in contention, and if there's a move that could be made, Joe Lacob will go back into the tax. I don't think it's off limits. Now, it's not ideal. I don't think they want to do that. I think they want to slash this payroll to get under the second apron so they have to forfeit picks or have to hold picks for potential trades. However, if there's something out there, I think they will go for it. I think the Warriors will go for it.
What if they try to jump the line to go get Lauri Markkanen? Is that...
I don't know.
Like, does that do it for you?
I don't know if it does it for me.
I ran into a guy at Recology. I was doing a bunch of dumping of hazardous waste materials, a.k.a. paint. You're only allowed to dump 15 gallons of paint, I think, maximum at any given time from a residence in San Francisco. We were dumping a bunch of my dad's old paint. Right. I was talking to him, and he was talking about the Warriors, and we're small talking. And he's like, first thing they got to do is tell Klay Thompson to take a hike. And I was just surprised at, like, the rhetoric surrounding Klay Thompson.
You surprised?
Yeah, I am. He's a legend.
I'm not surprised.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Christ.
Like,
that's what everybody says. I was on a flight to Vegas for the Super Bowl. I took that late night flight after the Warriors beat the Suns and that great three-point shot by Steph Curry. Guy sitting in front of me. Oh, Bonte, what's up, man? Hey, you just got to get Klay the hell up out of here. I was just like, okay, buddy.
So
I'm not surprised.
No, let me ask you this question.
We've taken phone calls the last 2 years. We've had dialogues about Klay Thompson the last 2.5 years since he come back and helped win that championship in 2022. I'm not surprised by the rhetoric.
I am, because he's an all-time legend. Yeah, like, when we bring up the name Madison Bumgarner, in real time, I do remember a portion of the fan base, and I was one of them, like, you got to keep this guy. And then another portion of the fan base, no, you got to let him go, right? And I don't remember what the split was. Maybe you can remember.
It wasn't like this with Clay Thompson.
What do you mean?
There's a lot more vitriol for Clay Thompson than there ever was for Madison Bumgarner.
Who's more of a legend for their organization?
You can make the case for both. What Bumgarner did in 2014, you could never take that away from him.
No doubt.
But what Clay Thompson did during those playoff runs, you could never take away from him.
I know.
Game 6 against Houston, 2019. Game 5 against Toronto. We know about Game 6 against OKC. I mean, he's had some monster games. Monster
games.
But
what if I made you choose?
I'll probably choose Clay because I'd be closer around the Warriors.
Okay.
Because Bumgarner, he wasn't the biggest factor in 2020, although he did pitch well in Arlington. He had that dynamic game in Arlington, which gave the Giants a commanding 3-1 lead in that series. 2012? I don't remember his 2012 as much. That was a year of Matt Cade.
Yeah.
It felt like. That was Matt Cade's year.
Well, and you had Vogelsong, thank you. So Zito's resurgence and having a couple of big playoff moments. I don't know, man. That the 2014 for Bumgarner is about as legendary, like it the is. Way we view Kawhi and
it's some, Paul Bunyan. Like
it was very unique.
I mean, it's iconic.
Klay Thompson's regular season is much more comprehensive as an all-time player than Bumgarner's, but Bumgarner's singular moment might be bigger than Klay Thompson's.
OKC Game 6. I mean, you look at all the players he had to defend on those championship teams. Guarding Kyrie Irving, guarding James Harden, guarding Donovan Mitchell.
I just think a Game 7 coming Damian out of the bullpen Willard. The way he did is a more iconic, singular moment. You know
in
what
Game
I mean?
Game 6?
What?
Oh, I mean, you won the championship.
Won the World Series, and you pitched three times in a whatever 9-day span. You know, like
it was great. That was unbelievable.
It's like the stuff that legends are made of.
I don't know how you top that. I don't know how you top that. But you asked me on the front end, though. You don't remember the split between the fans.
Yes, that's what I was getting back to.
I think what Klay Thompson has endured coming off those injuries. And, you know, Matt, we had a discussion one show meeting with our program director, Matt Nahegan, saying, you know, we need to do something. Let's pump Klay up because the fans are just so down on him. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to tell people to turn into cheerleaders about Klay Thompson. But when we think about the dialogues we've had about Klay Thompson ever since he's gotten back, it's been mostly negative. It's been mostly, and it's disappointed me in the sense that we're the Bay Area. We root for our guys. We still hold Dwight Clark in the highest regard. Dwight Clark hasn't played football since 87 with the 49. You know what I'm saying? He's been, that was a long time, but we still hold him in high regard, as we should, as we should. Why can't we do the same for Klay? And I always thought about that. Like, this guy had two gruesome injuries, got the game that he loved. He's low maintenance. You're not going to get a lot of drama from him other than he wants to play. And he may shot hunt at times, and he may shoot you out of game here and there, but the guy's trying to win. That's what it comes from. It comes from winning. Guy wants to be a champion. And so the vitriol that he's received over the last 2.5 years, Bumgarner never received this type of hate. Not from his own fan base. Not even close.
I remember, maybe not as close as Klay, but I do remember a large vocal, like the dirt bike thing, he ruined that season. Ruined that season. It just straight up ruined the season by getting in the dirt bike incident. And then all of the stuff with him and Puig and him and Max Muncy and everything, it was starting to rub people the wrong way. No, not even close to the degree of the vitriol that Klay got. I guess where I'm going at is, once he left and went to the Arizona Diamondbacks, a team that's in the Giants division, we just don't have a lot of it's like he didn't go to like the Dodgers, you know? Yeah. I don't know. I felt like almost immediately out of sight, out of mind, and people stopped caring about Bumgarner just in general. I just wonder, after a couple of weeks, let's say hypothetically Klay goes to the Orlando Magic, I wonder what the overall sense is going to be.
We'll move on.
And I think we'll be very sad.
I don't know.
Initially, I think we're going to be really sad.
I don't know. The conversations I have every day with Warrior fans, it always starts, it ends with Klay Thompson. What do you do? What do you do here? There's an interesting question on the Xfinity Mobile text line, 415. The question has become, can you keep Klay and get better? And no slander, but it's tough to see how.
Mm.
And I'm kind of in that camp. How do you get better? Now, you're going to have one of the better shooters in the league, there's no doubt. But we know about defense, and we know about how he fits with the squad and the movement skills at this point of his career. He's not the same defender, no doubt. The body language is bad at times last year with Klay Thompson. I get it because he's not the same guy. He lost his superpowers. And you talk to, when I talk to NBA players about that, what is it like when you know you don't have it? It's a dark, dark world. When you don't, when you're accustomed to playing at a high Hall of Fame level, then all of a sudden it's like, damn, I'm not playing at a Hall of Fame no more. I can't play at a Hall of Fame level no more. That's a hard reality. And Klay Thompson went through that last year. But that question, can they get better by keeping Klay Thompson? I don't think so.
That's a roster question, a financial question, but I think it's a hierarchy question with Steve Kerr. Like, listening to Raj Mathai talk with Steve Kerr last week, to me, if they bring Klay back, this is just the feeling I get from listening to Kerr. It's the last couple years of all of us together. And so that, to me,
going on a farewell tour.
Yes.
And that doesn't sit well with me.
Well, that doesn't mean we're competing.
Yeah.
And best man plays.
Yeah. And I don't think Joe Lacob's going for that.
No, I agree with you.
I don't think Joe Lacob's going
for
it.
But when I hear him say that, and then if they make the move of retaining Klay, that's what my brain goes to.
Right.
Whether that's real or not.
Yeah. No, I understand why your brain would go there. But I understand why Joe Lacob's brain would go there. Because that's not how he's rolling. I don't think the Warriors as an organization now, where they put themselves into, I don't think they could sit and just say, boy, let's just do the farewell tour for 2 years for the big three. The NBA is going to have no mercy on them. These teams in the Western Conference has been salivating for many years to destroy the Golden State Warriors and to end this dynastic run, which many can say that it ended this year when you don't even make the playoffs, for crying out loud.
Does Bumgarner leaving the Giants affect the feeling how people the emotions he evokes when you bring up 2014 and the championship, and if he were to come back to AT&T and get announced before a game, do you think that affects it at all?
What do you mean?
Like him leaving? Do you think there's any, like, Jeff Kent? It took a long time for Giants fans to embrace him.
Right
now, he didn't win a championship.
But he also said some bad. He also was talking that
on the way out the door.
Right. So Giants fans don't let that. They don't let that go easily, just like we saw with Pablo Sandoval.
Right, and so, but eventually fans turned around on Pablo Sandoval, and now they're all back in his corner.
I don't see Jeff Kent around much.
No.
I heard he's in Scottsdale at times, but I've been longing. What's going on with Jeff Kent? I want to see Jeff Kent. He's one of my favorite Giants ever, and I know he was different, but Jeff Kent had a five-year run at second base that was historic.
As good as any.
We should be embracing him. Why isn't he back?
It's
just like it took the Giants so long to embrace Brian Sabian. He's still not on the Wall of Fame.
It's him, Robbie Alomar, Altuve, and Chase Utley as the gold standards of second base in the last 40 years.
So I don't. If Bumgarner comes back, will he get the steady go? Of course.
Yeah, no one's going to think about him leaving.
Nobody.
They're going to think about the good times. So I guess where I'm going at with this is, like, I know we all want the feel good of everyone retires with one team. And if Klay, goes away, I'm sure there'll be some people that'll, feel whatever. But if he ever gets announced back, people are going to give him the craziest standing ovation of all time.
So what I've learned is that the online world and the real world are completely different.
Unequivocally different.
But there is a lot of people in the real world who say, so what are we going to do with Klay? What are we going to do with Klay? Now, a lot of people wanted him to come off the bench. He eventually did. And he got better. He got better, and it was like, wow, don't have to worry about Klay Thompson no more. From the All-Star break on, Klay was not a problem on his basketball team whatsoever. There were other problems, including Andrew Wiggins and productivity. And that's where that's number one priority. What am I doing with two-way wings? Can he turn back to the player that we had in 2022? Or is he the guy we saw last season? And if he's the guy we saw last season, how do we move on from this contract while getting a decent player back? A guy who can help us on both ends of the floor.
Can we agree, like, a month from now, I just don't see any scenario where Klay and Wiggins are back.
No, I don't see it either.
Okay. Like, one or both of them is gone.
Right.
Right?
I would maybe bet on both of them being gone, but who knows? Who the hell knows?
Yeah, I just don't see Wiggins on this team, like, in any scenario. And I don't know about Klay. I really don't know.
But what do you get back from? Is it a addition by subtraction? I don't know if you're in a position to do that.
Bonte,
you got to get a player.
I can't have him on this team because I think him and Kuminga, because Kuminga, I'm not paying $30 million. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to pay him the $30 million. I think him and Kuminga are out of here. I don't know where. It might not even be in the same deal. What?
You think Kuminga's gone?
I do.
Wow.
I just think he's the only thing that's going to net you back something. And if you're going to trade Wiggins and he's not that desirable, you have to attach something that is desirable.
What is
Jordan Poole was so undesirable, you had to put another pick in there and acquire somebody else who everyone else thought was being bought out.
But you're getting off the money, though. So you're off the Jordan Poole money, and you're going to be off the Chris Paul money.
Bonte, it's time for you to do the legal.
But JK, what are you getting back for JK? You getting the big boy back? Do you anticipate getting a big boy back? Because if I'm trading Jonathan Kuminga, who was at the Bay AC game Saturday looking dapper with Brendan Podziemski, first of all, I'm hesitant to trade him because he's one of my young pieces. And I'm looking at these young players in the playoffs saying, wow, look at these guys. They're getting better and better and better. Getting better and better and better. And I had forgotten. Somebody reminded me last week. I had forgotten Kuminga started three games during the 2022 playoffs. He started a couple games against Memphis. He had one good game against Dallas in game number four.
Did he start the game?
Almost came back.
Draymond got in trouble?
I think so. He started a couple games in that series. He may have started three games in that series, but he started like three games during that postseason run.
I think you just got to do something bold. Like, I look at Minnesota and what they've done. Everyone, Anthony Edwards, they also traded two first-round picks for Gobert, and everyone laughed at them. They also acquired Mike Conley, and everyone laughed at them, right? Like, everyone laughed at them. And now, we could argue about how much those guys are getting paid and this, that, and the other. Gobert was very effective and helped them get to where they're at right now. So you have to take a leap of faith, and he's not a perfect player, but he's a contributing player, and they overpaid for him. And I think it's worth it. And same thing would be said for Mike Conley. Now, that's not the template for every move that I have to make and whatnot, but I believe that the Warriors are going to have to acquire something that's got some warts and try to shine it up. And they're going to have to be bold.
888-957-9570. What is that bold move for the Golden State Warriors? We're also talking dynasties. Which sport is the hardest to create a dynasty in? Is it football? Is it baseball? Is it basketball? Is it hockey? That's all coming up here. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM Nation, one San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Don't forget, you can also watch us every single day on our YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter streams, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal first-class money market today. Now, when you do build your roster, don't you have to build it in thinking, how do we beat OKC? How do we beat Minnesota? How do we match up with Dallas? How do we match up with Denver? Aren't those because it felt like when Minnesota pulled that trade for Rudy Gobert, they just got beat by Memphis at six. And I thought they were very competitive in that series. That would have been fun to see Minnesota the Warriors a couple years ago, a young Minnesota team. But
I don't think you could build a team like this. We have to beat these four teams, and we can only construct this way. I get your point. They need size.
They need size, but they traded for Rudy Gobert, knowing that, hey, defensively, we have to get a lot better.
But you also need complementary pieces. So I look at Dallas as more of a template than like Minnesota, because you're not going to – finding an Anthony Edwards is very difficult.
No. It's not Anthony Edwards. I'm talking about the Rudy Gobert trade.
Oh, yeah.
Adding Rudy Gobert, retaining Naz Reid, you still have Jaden McDaniels, you have Nikhil Walker-Alexander, Mike Conley Jr., and so you saw the vision. Okay, we're built to play a smaller team like the Warriors. We're built to play a bigger team like Denver.
Yeah, but Dallas did a lot of that through drafting.
But you made the bold trade for Rudy Gobert
and Mike Conley. Big move.
That was the big move. And so you saw that, and they kept Karl-Anthony Towns with a lot of people. Wanted to trade Karl-Anthony Towns. Yeah. They stuck with him.
I mean,
boy, did it pay off yesterday.
He's a multiple-time all-star to have that you're inheriting. I'm just saying I think Dallas is more of a template that I'm looking for the Warriors because they kind of shaped the whole thing around Luka, right? They got him Kyrie, and then, you know, they shaped the team around. They got some shooters. They got some 3-and-D guys, and they got a bunch of bigs that are athletic, that are complementary pieces to funnel defensively and to also rim-run offensively.
Well, they also learned, too, that if we want to play the Clippers, and if we want to play the Nuggets, and we want to play OKC and the T-Wolves, we have to get bigger.
Yeah.
We have to get more athletic, but we have to have size. So you get Derek Lively II as a rookie out of Duke.
It's a great
pick. You trade
for
Daniel Gafford, and you get a 3-and-D guy, not a 3-and-D guy, but P.J. Washington, who's a very good scorer. And they thought about a shot and said, you know what, let's try to trade for this guy. And they do. And look at all the corner threes he's hitting. So I think they had those teams in mind saying, hey, if we want to make noise in the West, this needs to happen. So in a way, Minnesota did say, all right, we have Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards. How do we maximize these guys? They make the bold move for Mike Conley, a leader, a veteran, a guy who's going to run the offense, and then you bring in Rudy Gobert. Let's go to Austin to San Francisco. Austin, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, nothing much. I just want to say, just want to say this, man. The big three are untouchable, and you can even throw Looney in there. Everybody else can go. You got to remember, Klay Thompson is still better than half the league. Half the league. So you just got to, like you said, you got to go get it big and match up. That's all, or somebody else.
What's some names you're thinking about, Austin? What's some names you thinking about?
Like I said, we just need some boards. We need a backup Draymond Green. You know, all the stuff that he brings to the table, just on his IQ, passing, and all that. Just somebody that can back him up with a little shot from the three. I mean, like I said before, we can throw a Kelly Olynyk in there or something. But you need a backup four and somebody that can back up Klay Thompson. Or, you know, Moody can back up Klay Thompson. We just need a big. That's it.
All right.
But everybody else can go.
All right, Austin. Everybody else can go. Anybody agree with that? I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know.
Looney was so important just a couple of years ago. And I appreciate what he brings to the table. He's a third center in the modern NBA.
Especially if he's not shooting. And I think he can't shoot. Like, I watch him in pregame warmups. The guy shoots.
Yeah, but you're just at an athletic disadvantage on multiple ends of the floor, and it's tough.
If he did hit a shot, if he did shoot jumpers, I think there's some value there. But
I'm not saying he's
a 30-minute per game. Like, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying Looney's going to turn to an all-star. But if he could shoot, and you look at these bigs here that can shoot and space the floor, you may have something there for a cheap price because he is a cheaper contract. Looney does his job. Last year was tough for him, though. It was tough. Let's go to Ryan in San Bernardino. Ryan, what's happening? You're on the roast. What up, Ryan? Going once? Going twice?
Flush him.
He gone. Yeah, flush him, flush him, flush him. There you go. Talk to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. You haul into the roast. You better bring it. You better be ready. Because if you don't, that's what happens. Let's go to Steven in Oakland. Steven, what's happening?
Hey, guys, I just wanted to say that the Warrior fans that want to get rid of Klay so easily, they don't really know ball. You know, we were in the same situation in 2021 where we had a horrible season. People were talking about it's over, blah, 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 and then we win a championship. If you look at the teams that are in it right now, they ain't that good. We beat the Mavs at the end of the season, and we were playing horrible that game. I saw that game live. All we need is for Draymond to not get suspended and for Klay to come back a little bit with a little bit more life in his legs, and we're good.
Well, did Luka play in that game?
Luka played that game, but he didn't play in the Friday game that they lost in Dallas. Kyrie played that game. He's talking about the game at Chase Center.
The game where Luka and Kyrie played, we won. So the idea that we couldn't beat the Mavs, the idea that we couldn't beat, you know, these other teams.
So you believe, right? Hold on real quick, Steven. You believe if the Warriors had snuck into the playoffs, they would have been able to beat Dallas in a seven-game series or Minnesota in a seven-game series?
Yes. And not only that, I believe we could have also beat the Thunder because we have more experience. And the Thunders, the people were saying the Thunders had no chance even though they were a number one seed. It's different when you get into the playoffs.
Hey, Steve. Do you believe in the Easter Bunny?
We got to flush that. We can't sit back here, not make the playoffs, and then say we could have beat that team.
Because we have experience.
Shout out to our friends at Florida.
I'm going to be humble in this one.
Denver had all the experience in the world yesterday, up 20, third quarter.
But, you know, it's crazy. I'm not even mad at them.
Shout out to our friends at Florida Water Plumbing and Drain, by the way.
A lot of people feel like that, which is crazy.
And then, you know what? That's what being a fan is all about, right? More of your phone calls coming up. What league is the hardest to have a dynasty in? 888-957-9570. The Nuggets come up short. They don't go back-to-back. Giants have won four in a row, but they have the day off before heading out to Pittsburgh to take on the Pirates for three, and then the New York Mets, and they'll come back home next week and take on the Phillies and the Yankees. That'll be a lot of fun at Oracle Park. All that coming up, brought to you by Safeway.
Head to Safeway this week for these great digital deals. Lucerne cage-free eggs, 18-count, large grade AA, $2.97 each, limit one. Pork sirloin chops, bone-in, only $1.97 per pound, member price. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
I'm what you might call very good at hide-and-seek. This one time, my parents had to round up the whole neighborhood to track me down. It was a mess. lot of tears. Well, now that we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, including all my favorite super secret hiding spots. So I can kill time in here by streaming my shows and...
Ha! Found ya.
The heck? How?
You left to find my tablet on.
This generation, ruining the game with their performance enhancers.
Get wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity for a reliable connection throughout your home. Now through June 21st, get gig-speed internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and free Wi-Fi equipment included when you add unlimited mobile. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and autopay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. Gig-speed Wi-Fi requires gig internet and Xfinity gateway. Xfinity Mobile requires Xfinity internet. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
Hi. I'm Brian Bakhtiari, executive manager of Stevens Creek Subaru. The month of May was named after the Greek goddess Maya. She was the caretaker of plants and fertility. May is also known as the month of love and success. And with that in mind, Stevens Creek Subaru wants to make your new vehicle journey one that you'll love. At Stevens Creek Subaru, we're constantly looking for ways to make the car buying process easier and transparent. When you're shopping from home or at Stevens Creek Subaru, we let you take control of our computers to build a deal that works best for you. Whether you're looking for a new Subaru, somewhere to service your Subaru, or just want a great cup of coffee from one of our Subaristas, we look forward to seeing you at Stevens Creek Subaru.
Stevens Creek Subaru is now taking advance orders for the all-new Solterra. They're also an official Kelley Blue Book buying center and will buy any vehicle regardless of condition, even if it's a lease or still has a loan.
We're located on Stevens Creek Boulevard just off of Winchester or online at StevensCreekSubaru.com. That's StevensCreekSubaru.com. And remember, buckle up and drive safely.
BMO knows that for business owners
like me,
time is money. So BMO moves fast.
Real fast.
You get quick decisions on loans, credit cards, and business accounts.
They're so speedy.
Fast, expert guidance and advice.
Notice a theme.
And quick and easy account openings in branch or online.
Whatever works for you.
So you can get back to business. Visit your nearest BMO branch to learn more.
Can I hear the music sting?
Of course. BMO. Accounts are subject to approval and provided in the United States by BMO Bank N.A. member FDIC.
The following is an attorney advertisement. If you get sidelined by a workplace injury, the workers' compensation attorneys at Boxer & Gerson can help get you back in the game. Our team of skilled attorneys will fight by your side for the treatment and compensation you deserve. We care about justice for injured workers. That's what makes us Northern California's premier workers' comp law firm. Call Boxer & Gerson at 510-345-2341 or visit BoxerLaw.com for a free consultation. Boxer & Gerson, your life is worth the fight.
What's wrong?
My travel rewards card didn't earn enough miles for my vacation.
Are you crying? Are you crying because of that other credit card?
Uh-huh.
Well, switch to the Capital One Venture card. Venture lets you redeem miles on any travel purchase.
Really?
Yep, and you earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every single day. The Capital One Venture Card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
As a roofer, spring means the start of my busy season, which means I've got to get organized with help from Beacon. I can save time with Beacon Pro Plus and 24/7 access to live pricing, delivery tracking, order history, and more. Plus, this.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.